Is this thing on?
All right, let's
get this show on the road. Okay. Wow. Episode
30?
30.
It's
30. 30.
Episode 30. What is that thing you got in your hand there?
There was a sale down the street last summer, and I think lockdown had everyone so bored that I think it was the most popular garage sale ever and the only garage sale in Cranberry Lake. And so I had nothing better to do. I just walked down there and started perusing through this guy's massive garage. He had like a 3-car garage full of antiques. Full. I mean, like a museum. I mean, a lot of it wasn't for sale.
Some of love those guys.
Yes. Yeah.
I do. I love
them. So I bought a pipe. And then I also picked up a really nice, actually, when I bought it, it wasn't very nice. It was broken. And I ended up gluing it back together, and it's already starting to break apart again. So obviously, I'm an expert repairman. Turns out wood glue is not best on whatever this. I think this is Bakelite. It feels like Bakelite. But it's old. It's from the 60s, I think. And it still sounds pretty good. So, yeah, it's my banjo. It stays in the shop.
Nice. Fun. Whoa. That was a strange twist. Hey, last week you announced you're getting married.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's hard to comprehend, but it's happening.
In light of that, therapist.
Oh boy.
You said you have a phobia of getting married. Do you know the symptoms? Alec. I can't say I do.
Wait a second.
You're terrible.
I'm terrible.
You want me to repeat it?
I have a phobia of
getting married. Do you know the symptoms?
And my response is no.
Your response is, I can't say I do.
Okay, God, that's the dumbest. That's the worst. The worst. I hated it. I think I didn't pick up on that one. That was pretty good.
I don't know.
But also, coming from the same guy who left his fridge open for 15 minutes today, eating snacks and just leaving and then coming back and noticing. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like when I feel like maybe I'm coming down with a cold or something. And when I get like that, I start losing my mind even more, just thinking about how, you know, how crappy I feel. So just a pity party.
Well, I'm not giving you any sympathy on this end. So, but what I will give you is one more since you didn't get the first one.
Oh, come on. I got there.
I'm going to give you one more.
It took me an hour.
I just want to give you one more because this is the best joke ever.
Is it really?
In the history of the world.
Ready? Okay, let's go.
A couple went out for a meal at a restaurant and ordered the famous chicken surprise. The server brought the meal, served it in a lidded cast iron pot. Just as the wife was about to dig in, the lid of the pot rose slightly and two beady little eyes peered out at the couple before the lid slammed back down. Rather perturbed, the woman called the waiter over and demanded an explanation. "Sorry, ma'am, what did you order again?" asked the server. "Chicken surprise," she replied. "Oh, very sorry, everyone," said the server. "I brought you Peking duck."
Oh, my goodness. That is another level of good. I do like that one.
It's cute. That's all I got for you. But I'm opening up my can of Canada Dry because once again, my coffee is done an hour ago.
Yeah.
I will not have another.
No, hey, I'm not any better. I'm drinking Bengal spice tea.
That sounds interesting.
Mm. It is pretty interesting. It's like a chai tea with some
chai is gross.
Cinnamon.
That's my feelings. But
yeah. This one's like pretty good. I don't mind it.
Well, regardless, our coffee heroes this week are Ben K and Lee. So thanks, Ben and Lee, for clicking that buy us a coffee button. And we appreciate it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, guys.
So what have you been up to?
I have been, I was in Kentucky for, in total with drive time, about 4 days. Actually almost 5 days, really. And I was teaching a class on chainsaw carving, and it was,
all right.
Yeah. And so you and I both know I'm not, known as a chainsaw carver. I'm not a chainsaw carver per se, but it was about striving for realism. And, Abby Peterson named it that. And I thought it was an apt name because the best you can ever do is strive, right? It's not like you're going to get a perfectly, realistic image. So yeah, we had a really unique class. One, it was at Abby's, which he has a carving pit with like tons of wood. I mean, I'm not sure how many stations, but like more than 10 stations.
Yeah.
And it's all outside. He has a really great shop, too. Wood burning stove in the center of it. You've seen it. And, I don't know what it is about Abby Peterson, but whenever I go down there, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been carving for a long time. And so not my motivation for carving is not always intrinsic, right? A lot of times it's extrinsic. It's like, I got to pay for something. I got to make a carving. Cause the deadlines meet there and I don't want this person to feel like, they're waiting on me. Stuff, all these extrinsic motivations, like I don't want to be a complete slob today. I got to carve something. But you and I both know there are several ways of getting over that. Like for one, just to get to it, a lot of times that feeling, guilt goes away when you actually start into a carving, cause you enjoy it. And it's carving is, there's a reason that we do it. It's fun. It's super fun. But going to Abby's is like another way that I found to resolve that like feeling of, needing to create an intrinsic motivation, needing to create some sort of internal desire to make something that I haven't made before. And I've never left Abby's without that strong feeling of wanting to go home and make something. And I'll continue to visit him as long as that continues, because we got to have people like that in our life who inspire us. Right. So,
yeah. So that's how long of a drive is that?
It's not that far. It's like just over 7 hours, maybe 7 hours and 10 minutes.
Okay.
And a perfect drive, actually a perfect drive, because when you are used to 10 hours, 12 hours drive in a day, cause that's kind of like the max. I don't ever want to drive more than like 12 or 14 hours. 7 hours is like awesome. It's half that, right? So it's perfect. Yep. It's perfect. It's just like a half day drive. And so what was interesting about it, I was mentioning a couple of reasons it was unique, and then I got sidetracked, but it was at Abby's studio, which was awesome, but B, it was a very small class. There were only 3 students in the class, and that was a little bit like, oh man, should I do this anyway? I mean I would just go to Abby's anyhow. And so I talked to my girlfriend about it, and she's like, you should just go. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go. I'm sorry, fiance. I talked to my fiance about it.
Oh yeah.
And so I just packed up my stuff and I went, and 3 students is a small class. That's not, if you're doing it for extrinsic motivation, it's not enough. You're not getting paid enough to do it, but it was so much fun. These 3 guys were super sold out wood carvers. I mean, excited about wood carving, man. They were like, they were jazzed to learn and to show me stuff. I swear I learned as much from them as they did from me. And I'm proud of that, because, to attract those kind of guys to a class, makes me really happy that those are the students that I have, because, again, just their energy and excitement. Every time I'd ask people to come up for the next step, if you will, or like, we do something else to the carving, a demo, I'll call it. There were great conversations that followed those demos. I mean, just like awesome, deep philosophical questions. Like, how do you relax yourself, when you're working on a carving and you're stressed out and you're, you're actually worse off because of the freak out moment? Or like, how do you envision the piece, and like, how do you create flow so that the piece, when you look at it, it draws your eye back up into it? These are things I learned from Jeff Ferris. What was fun was Jeff was sleeping upstairs. He was staying in the house, in the shop. We stayed in the house and he was staying in the shop because he was in town for a class that he was teaching the next weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. So what was fun about that, by the way, I don't know if I said Ferris, Jeff Ferris, he came down periodically and visited our class. And every time he came down, I took advantage of it, because if you don't know who Jeff is, I'm sure most people listening do who are in the carving world, but if you don't know who he is, he's a great wood carver, a great Western relief carver. I mean, like, awesome, realistic portraits. One of the guys I looked up to as a little kid, I mean, like a 12, 13, 14 year old kid, Jeff was the one who I was like, man, if I could one day, like, he motivated me. Like, he was one of the hero guys. So anyway, him coming down and giving us this insight was fantastic. It was just so awesome and helpful. And there wasn't a second where I was like, feeling like my class was getting derailed. You know, we had all these weird conversations that trailed off, ADD, crazy, silly conversation about Amish culture and all this, just teasing each other about our carvings. And that's a great horse. And it was just full of silliness. But this is for those who are watching, you can see I did this cedar bust and you can't really see the base. I don't know if you can. Yeah, there you go. You can kind of see the base. It's a pretty big carving, not quite life size, 3/4 life size, but it was a really fun exercise. The base is facing this way and the face is in the opposite direction. And so it was fun to, number one, just kind of like switch it up a little bit and do this full bust and like a larger scale, but two, just to play with a new type of form, like a new type of base and incorporating ideas that I've known and talked about, but have not, you know, exercised enough into this carving. So
there's that cedar again. Look at the colors. Hey,
yeah, isn't that
amazing?
Cool.
Ugh, so cool.
So cool.
And the colors actually work perfectly. Sorry, audio people, but the colors, like the white kind of shows the outer edge of the carving too, right? Like, it's so cool. Like, it works for the carving.
Yeah.
The color changes. But
yeah. No, it's agreed. It's a really cool wood. And I got lucky that way. Like, yeah, obviously. I mean, sapwood just lives at the outside of the tree.
Yep.
So, my gosh, Doug, I can't tell you how fulfilling that group was. You know, there's a guy named Don Masuda. I think he listens to the podcast if he's listening to this, which I hope he is. I want to thank him for coming and everyone who came, Carrie, Pat. But, you know, one of the guys who really spoke up the most was named Don, and he would share these stories about life and his dog getting sick and how he takes care of his dog and how he's just, and it would always come back around to how we're so lucky to be wood carving. We're so lucky to be wood carving, man. It's like, you have no idea. Like, you know, I've lived the other life. I've done contracting or, electrical. He was the master electrician, on a lot of projects. And so he's like, I've done the other, and we are lucky to be wood carving. He talked about it as kind of like a healing process for him to get into carving. Like, he's kind of, I hope he doesn't mind me sharing, I should have asked him, but he was, he wasn't in great spirits and work was low. And, he said his daughter caught him walking around in his shop kind of a little bit aimlessly one evening and suggested, Dad, why don't you try wood carving? You know, just a little girl suggested that. And he said, you know, yeah, okay. And so he made a little carving. He said it was a 5-minute wood spirit or 10-minute wood spirit. So I'm wondering if it was either your video or something like that. And, he couldn't remember. I tried to get it out of him, but, you know, that being said, he fell in love. And I mean, he's been like full bore carving every single day, chainsaw carving, hand carving. And, he's just a 5'2" ball of energy. And, everyone was just feeding off of that and feeding off each other and enthusiastic and silly. So,
I want to ask you, like, who do you think you are?
What do you mean?
Well, to go down and teach a chainsaw carving course.
Yeah. No, I know. And you know what's funny?
I'll let you finish. I don't say that. I'm joking, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It, what this is the, and obviously you did a good job.
Oh, yeah.
And people loved it. But it's just so funny to me that he just said, oh, I'm going to teach a chainsaw carving course.
Well, but granted, that's why it was so small. People know me. They know that I'm not under, I'm not overselling my skill here, like in chainsaw. Like people know that, you know, I do like a handful of chainsaw carvings every year that are finished by hand and that are kind of like my, my capstone or like my, like higher end price point pieces that I bring to art show. So I'll usually have like two, three, maybe four of these larger, like half size, three quarter or full size busts that are usually, you know, roughed in with a chainsaw.
But your skills to a full blown chainsaw carver, you have, would you say you have finer skills like in the faces and the eyes and stuff than is that something that you really add to chainsaw carving or?
Yeah, and that's kind of my
save it for later. You want to talk about this later?
Oh, topic? Yeah, let's do that. Let's save it for later. Yeah, that's a great topic discussion, and we kind of already talked about maybe getting into that at some point. So let's do that. Let's save that for a topic. But anyway, that's the long and short. I'm starting wedding planning now, and so that's been.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
How involved will you be in the wedding planning?
Man,
what does this generation's man involvement mean?
No, well, truly for me, I thought I was going to be more involved than I ended up actually wanting to be. Like the more she gives me ideas or gives, you know, throws ideas into the bag, I'm liking most of them. So it makes my life easier. And she's easy too. She was kind of telling me a few days ago, I don't want to make this any harder than it needs to be. So I'm going to be easy. Right. So, and we're kind of both that way generally. Like when we hang out, it's not like one of us has some really intense plan that needs to be, you know, usually it's like pretty laid back. Right. So both of us are kind of easygoing. So it hasn't been too bad, but I'll check, you know, you'll hear more about it. I'm sure it'll get more intense.
I'm sure that's right. But I just know my generation's like, the guys are like, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's about it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right. Well, I'm a little bit more, you know, I think maybe cause I don't know. I like visual art stuff. And so all the visual stuff is fun for me to talk with her about, but you know, she picked the color scheme. She sent it to me and I was like, great, that's cool. I like those colors. So.
Well, I'll be interested in looking through your Pinterest board.
Yeah, there you go. The ultimate stalking session. What about you, man? What's been going on in your world?
I was trying to think of what I've been up to, but it's been crazy. I don't have any carving wise. Well, I have a little, unfortunately, I have a little secret side project that I'm not ready to talk about yet.
Nice.
But I'll definitely be talking about it in the future. But that's really kept me busy.
A secret. Yeah. A
secret project. But what I did do though was I did make a video on YouTube stealing from you who stole from Vic Hood.
Good. Oh yeah, I saw it. Yes, I absolutely saw it. And I thought of Vic and I felt bad that both of us now have stolen from him.
Well, I didn't call mine good to great. I called mine bad to better.
I like that.
Because great never lived here.
Right. Yeah, no. Yeah, that's that's a more honest approach. I like that.
Well, I took this gnome that I carved probably 6 years ago. And when I look at it, in fact, I think we just refound it in the kid's closet or something. Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at it, I saw so many mistakes, you know, flat eyes, straight hair, shallow arm, all the beginner mistakes that everybody makes. So then I put it on the bandsaw and I cut it right in half. And then I recarved the other side.
That's cool.
With better eyes that you can see from this side, cheekbones, more detail in the beard, deeper arms.
That's great.
And it was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And so actually it's fun just to have this visual too with the cutting in half.
Right.
It was mixed reviews. I was beginner shaming. That's what they said. I said, it's my work. I can correct my own work. But right. No, a lot of people appreciate it. But a few people were like, there goes my confidence. I'm like, but I'm helping you. Aren't I? I thought I was helping you.
Oh,
so anyway, it makes reviews, but I won't do that again. But it was fun for me and I don't care. So,
yeah. But. Well, I take it as a compliment when people say that they're going to throw in the towel. I just hope that they don't actually do it. Which people don't say that. I'm not saying that I'm getting that all the time. But
well, it's so funny. Like when I look at this is the original. Like his feet are as wide as his coat waist.
Mm-hmm.
Like look at the size of it's ridiculous.
Oh, I like him though.
I even made this feet a little bit smaller, but I couldn't go too much smaller.
Nice. But yeah.
Anyway, that was that's the bulk of it.
Right.
And of course, after you make the video, you edit the video and then babysit the video for comments and stuff. So yeah.
Right.
But otherwise, I haven't done too much. It's been a gloomy, rainy few days, and today is just glorious.
I know.
Beautiful day today. The sun is shining. Warm weather. I got a t-shirt on and man, I'm stoked. Spring is coming. I can smell it now. It's coming.
Well, I saw the daffodils starting to sprout up and
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm so excited because when we came home, when we left for Kentucky, it was cold, rainy, you know, I think it was actually the low 30s. So it was icy. We start to drive towards Kentucky. We get into Cincinnati. We get out of our car. It's 78 degrees.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. I was like tricking myself. My body didn't know what to do because it hadn't been in a warm temperature other than the sauna. So I looked at my watch and sure enough, it said 78 degrees. And I was like, wow, this is what an unusual thing. And so, yeah, it was warmer there, obviously, than here. Stayed in the high 50s most of the time, a little bit cooler. But I mean, down here, it was like 10 or 20 degrees cooler. So. Finally, we're getting actual spring.
I have a built-in memory that I can recall at any moment. And it's just because it was so impactful. Leaving Canada in the wintertime, flying to Africa.
Oh, wow.
And walking out of the plane in an African night.
Wow.
And it was hot. And the smell of wood smoke was in the air. And it was just, I had that memory just burnt right in my brain. Coming from snowy Canada and then walking out into this hot night. It was just fantastic. I loved it. Loved it.
Really cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Africa, I've never been. What was that like there? I'm just curious.
Rough. Very rough. Well, we went to, the reason I was there was we were drilling wells.
Oh, wow.
Went on a well drilling team for a couple of weeks.
And, okay.
Drilled. So we were back like this. And to be fair, this wasn't nice. It wasn't nice landscape. Like it was just flat and dry and no big trees. But the villages were all thatch villages. Like it was, we were way, way in the middle of nowhere. And all the people ate there. It was sad, really. They ate millet. You know millet? It's like
millet.
What you give your budgies.
It's bird seeds.
Yeah. Well, they make these little millet silos and they eat that in like three different ways.
Hmm.
Porridge or flour, bread and stuff. Like it's just.
Wow.
That's what they eat. So, but anyway, they were walking like, 15 kilometers to get pails of water. It was insane. So they sure loved their wells.
Yeah, I guess so. So they really used them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was huge to them. So it was great. Very, very rewarding. But on that note, it's time to hit the...
Topic.
Yeah. I was gonna say mailbag. Imagine.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
That would be me.
I'm glad it's not me. That's all I can say. Yes. Well, should I introduce
chainsaw
it?
Chainsaw carving.
Yes. Yeah. You guys. Should I introduce it? Chainsaw carving.
Chainsaw carving.
I got it first. I got there first.
We don't need a ditty for that.
Right.
So anyway, so yeah, I was teasing you earlier, but who do you think you are to go down there to teach a class on chainsaw carving? But
yeah,
I talking to you outside of this is that you're on fire for chainsaw carving.
You're
getting you're stoked.
I am. I'm definitely excited. But like I say, every time I go down there, I get excited. But this one was this was a different experience for sure. And I'm more excited now coming back than before. And well, so backing up a little bit, you were saying, you know, where is it that you know, where is it that you get your the idea to teach a class on chainsaw carving? It wasn't my idea. And actually it goes to something that I remember reading a while back, which was, you know, you shouldn't like do something like as a career unless someone is asking you to do it, right? Like you're literally being pursued to do the thing because you're good at the thing, right? And people are noticing that. Like that's as good a motivation as any to do something. And that's kind of how it's always been for me as far as like selling stuff and teaching. You know, because I don't really usually pursue gigs for teaching and like in workshops and such, which is a huge blessing that it's worked out that way. But with chainsaw carving, Abby, he was like, you know, man, I want to get you to teach a class here one day. And he was like, yeah, Jeff's having one next year. Maybe I can schedule it after yours. And he said, but here's the thing. You can't use hand tools. You got to use power. You got to use, because these guys don't want to, most of these guys that come to my classes are like chainsaw carvers. That's what they do. Like they sell their stuff. They're full, you know, a lot of them are full-time carvers. And so they want to maximize efficiency. They want to use power, everything, chainsaw, maybe some burrs here and there, man put cutters, heads, cutter heads and such. So I said, I think I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. And so we scheduled this, and as it got closer to the deadline for this class, I started going through my, you know, all the tools that I use in tandem with hand tools, and especially used in past years, because I was just fed up with using power after a while, you know, years of breathing in dust, the noise, I kind of got bored with it. And so I switched over COVID quarantine to just hand for the most part. And so, so I started going back through the list of tools that I needed. I used power tools a handful of times this year for various projects, and including those Bengal tiger head stabs. Those were power carved, but yeah, it was sort of just, you know, really, you know, surprisingly similar concepts, I think, to hand carving. You know, you can think of the edge of a chainsaw, the tip of a chainsaw as being like a gouge. And the smaller the tip, you know, the dime tip is going to be more like a smaller gouge, and the larger the bullnose tips are, the larger of a gouge. And of course, you can manipulate a gouge, a curved gouge, to do things that, you know, or you can, sorry, manipulate a chainsaw to do things that a gouge can't do. And so, yeah, it's not as different as you'd expect. Like I did probably 90% of this carving with a chainsaw, and I used a few burrs here and there, and then you know, touched it with some hand tools at the end. You know, I got the eyes in that way, the lips partially cut in, some of the nose, but they asked for that. A lot of them brought hand tools because they were taking a class from me, right? They knew I was going to use hand tools. So
yeah. But I would imagine that if people are chainsaw carvers, they're probably not all doing bust. They're probably cranking out bears during the week, right?
So yeah, a lot of
so that's why I say I think you would add greatly to the faces in the, well, the artistic just the way how you carve faces.
Sure, right? Thank you.
It's totally different than a regular old. I shouldn't say that. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I just imagine a blokey chainsaw carver doesn't have the fine art faced.
I don't know, I guess, the guys were saying that chainsaw carvers struggle with faces, like most chainsaw carvers stay away from faces at all costs, is what Pat was telling me, one of the guys that goes on the circuit and does all the competitions and stuff. But again, I guess it makes sense. And it's part of the thing that drew me and keeps me to Faces is it's challenging enough, right? It's not like it's, I mean, like, how could you get bored? I mean, you know, I'm talking to preaching to the choir. How could you get bored with a face? I mean, like, it's what's better than that, right?
Not much.
It's just so, it's so expressive. There's it's endless challenge. Everyone's face is different. So if you're bored of carving one face, you know, look at literally anybody else and they're going to give you a whole new set of rules to follow. And that's kind of why I like to teach is I like showing people, okay, here's the framework. The eyes are usually here, center here, and then, you know, nose is there and mouths are there. And we give them these rules, you know, like halfway from the bottom of the chin to the nose is the, whatever, give them these rules. And ultimately at the end of the day, I say, you apply this grid to every reference photo you use, you're going to see where it varies from the standard. And that's what you're after, right? The grid is just so you can see how far from standard your face deviates, whatever reference photo you're using. Or
yeah. So like if you're carving a Cyclops,
yeah, you're just going to move that one eye right to the center. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is I feel humbled by that class in a way, because every time Ferris came out, every time someone came out, it was like revelation on revelation. It was like, oh my gosh, of course you want the base to somehow point up back to the carving if it can. Like, of course you want the hair if you can to, for instance, on this piece, this is again, sorry, audio people, but one of the things I was trying to do with this piece is and it's probably hard to see, but I gave him a little upturned hair, and I'm going to try to show that as best I can on the backside of him. And one of the reasons I did that was to exercise this theory that Jeff has, that, you know, as you move down a carving, if everything points directly downwards and there's nothing interesting to look at the base, you're going to be bored. You're just going to go over the piece once, focus on the face, look down, nothing to see there, and onto the next carving. But if you like incorporate details that create flow, that draw the eye back up into the carving, you'll create this like visual cycle, right? So you keep looking at this carving. You're like, wow, look at the way this all flows together. And it keeps you interested. And
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I never thought of that. I thought that was really neat. So anyway, how'd I get on that tangent?
Completely. I don't know. I forget.
Yeah. But, it's relevant. It's relevant to me because, you know, a lot of times I'll show you something really quickly here.
Alec is off. Yeah, there we go.
My headphones back on. A lot of times I'm doing these busts where, you know, there's some level of dynamic to them, right? This guy's looking off to the, okay, now he's facing you, right? So he's looking off this way. Cool, right? But it's kind of stoic and static. It's not that expressive. It really isn't, because it's just sort of looking ahead, slightly turned, you know. And I can go ahead.
The trick is in the character world now, if you have his eyes both looking down at something,
right? <I'll tell you. laughs> Exactly. Like
movement just by putting the eyeballs out to the
side. Oh really? Yeah. If I
what's that, you know,
I put a fly on his shirt, exactly, right here, and then put his eyes down.
Yeah, there you go.
It would ruin the piece. No, it would definitely make it more funny, at least, and interesting. And then the difference. Yeah,
I think it's so funny to me. I just keep going back to, as much as you call me an artist, I'm not an artist. That's the kind of stupid mentality that I have, is to make everything silly.
No. And saying that you're not an artist because you make things that are silly is like saying Roger Miller isn't a musician because his songs were silly a lot of times. It's like, no, he was probably the best. He was one of the best at it, because he could make you laugh. He could make you cry in one song. I mean, you'd listen to the thing and you'd be like, man, that's everything. It's like life in that one song.
So I was not aware that you actually had some chainsaw experience in the
past. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I keep three chainsaws in the shop. I have one bullnose, actually two bullnoses that I changed out. So now there's one bullnose, and then there's two dime tip carving saws. One's a Steel and one's a Makita. And I keep them in there. And, you know, anything that, you know, like that, the basswood sitting bull that I carved, like I said, is roughed in with a chainsaw. So, yeah, so I do use it, and it's like, it's really, like I said, you've got a gouge at the end and you've got a flat blade or a number one, right? That the length of the blade, and you can do a lot with that.
I dabbled in the chainsaw carving a couple different times, just to, and I gotta tell you, it was the worst because of the wood. The wood,
really?
Because I had access to like 300 dead ash trees.
Ash. Yep.
Dead old dry hard ash.
Yeah. And what a pain in the ash.
Pain in the ash, but it was terrible. It was so hard. It was just so hard. Right. You know, there was nothing came easy, and I got frustrated. But again, I can't do everything.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, that's kind of what. Well, actually, I had a lot of fun with it when I first started, because I picked out a piece of wood that my dad's friend left at the house. And actually, what's funny about it is I did the art show circuit for like 10 years. And every single art show I did, someone would come up and be like, hey, I have this tree in my backyard. You know, I was wondering if you could carve it. No, I don't really do that kind of carving. You know, I've turned down, I mean, hundreds of people. It's at least 15 or 20 people a show, right? And one day, my dad's friend dropped off this weird cross section of a tree with branches, you know, big, thick branches coming off of it. Walnut, black walnut. And he left it out there, and I told my dad, you know, does he know what, you know, does he think I'm a chainsaw carver? What am I going to do with this? And he's like, I don't know. I think you could do something with it. So I stared at it every day for, I don't know, a couple of years, just sat in a firewood pile until one day I pulled it in the shop. I drove to Harbor Freight. I bought the cheapest electric chainsaw they had, and I spent a day carving this thing, and it was just a few hours, I guess. And when I pulled back from it, I could not believe how much fun that was and how transferable the concepts were. Like I loved it. And then of course I went back in with the hand tools and I finished everything that was rough, because you know I'm not going to do it all in power with a chainsaw. You know, I'd use the rasps, the rifflers, the burrs, and the cutter heads. But yeah, it was so, I immediately knew I was going to add that into my thing. And, but no, I didn't, I never really did like go that route, like fully go into that territory of chainsaw carving, but I always think it's good to mix it up. And, so I try to, when I'm getting really bored, and it's warm out, I'll rough something in with a chainsaw.
That reminds me of, we talked in the past too, about, how an artist will find a way. If they can draw, then they end up, they can paint and they can do sculpture. They can do it.
Yeah. Like,
so it's the same as the wood carving. The concepts transfer, whether it's a little 2-inch caricature.
Yeah.
You can do a chainsaw carving 6 feet tall. It's kind of the same ideas.
Yep.
But
no, totally.
Yeah, no. Well, good for you for going out on a limb, because
I was scared. I drove down there, and I
bet you would.
What's funny is I know that like two of the three will definitely be like listening to this podcast. We're in that class, so they're gonna be laughing when they hear this. But I was going down there like, what am I doing teaching a chainsaw class?
Yeah.
But I realized, you know, on my way down, it's like I don't have to fake anything. They're there to learn about realism in the face, and I can teach that. And I've roughed in with a chainsaw plenty enough to know that. You know, I can do it. But I went there and I just decided, you know what, anyone suggests anything, I'm going to soak it up and I'm going to ask questions. And those guys knew a lot more about chainsaws than I do. They know a lot more about the types of chains, the bars, the sprockets, the brands of saws to buy. And they actually, I bought a chainsaw on my buddy came with me, I should say, Zach, and he got so excited about chainsaw carving, just watching us and carving along, his first carving ever, that he went and bought a chainsaw and brought it. We met up and brought, he bought two of them, gave me one. And, so anyway,
nice.
He's stoked on it. I paid for it. He didn't give it to me.
But, oh, wow.
but yeah,
I should have sold him mine.
There you go.
So you made it there with, the wheels didn't fall off your vehicle.
No, and actually, we got a. I ordered an exhaust that for the last trip, and it came in the day I left. I don't know if I mentioned it, but then I got it when I got home. It was sitting in my driveway, and I brought it to my dad's house. And we thanks to him being a mechanic, we threw it up there and put a new exhaust, a new motor mounts, and new suspension mounts. I can't remember what they're called, but. Anyway, yeah, if the car is a new car, I mean, it was so bad before. It was so bad. So I'm going to keep it. I was thinking about selling it, but I'm going to run it into the ground. I'm going to sell, probably end up selling the Jeep and just keep the Honda, drive it until I can't anymore.
It seems to be the perfect size vehicle.
Yeah.
For what you do. Like, it's not too big that you're not crying at the gas tank or at the gas pumps. And but you can still put a lot of junk in the back.
Exactly. You know
what vehicle I miss?
What?
The Astro van.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah. They were the most utilitarian vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's comparable ones now, but Astro, like, they were a family van too. Or you just took all the seats out and you had to work. They actually made them in four-wheel drive too.
Really?
They looked like a toaster on wheels, but they were such a practical vehicle. I had one for a few years, and I used it for a work truck.
Right.
But it was great. It was a great vehicle.
Yeah.
Like I said, perfect size. Not too big that $100 fill-up. It's still like a $50 fill-up.
Right.
And, pretty reliable.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the thing that I've always liked is like the SUVs or the vans. I've always had a van or an SUV for the most part.
Yeah. And I always avoided... Like, I always had like a Yukon or a Suburban or something in the old days because I never want a pickup truck because I am everybody's handyman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody comes to me for everything, and I'm always helping old ladies and people. And if I had a pickup truck, oh my goodness, then I'd be a mover too.
Oh, yeah.
Doug's got a pickup truck. Yeah. But it's funny, in today's day, though, everybody has a pickup truck.
It's true.
It's the old guy's luxury vehicle.
That's right. Yeah, you mean you look at the new Jeep. We've talked about this before, but the new Gladiator.
Yesterday.
What's that?
I looked at it yesterday again.
Yeah. Oh, funny enough. Well, I mean my slip is not that off. It's almost more of a, like you say, it's like a luxury sport utility vehicle more than a truck, right? Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, it still has a box if you want to put dirty stuff in the back, but it's not a big box. But I just love it. I just love it so much. But it has to have the big tires. If it doesn't have the big tires, I have no interest.
Yeah.
I love the look of that bulky. I forget the packages that gives it that extra little lift and bigger tires, but it's gorgeous, but it's so expensive.
Yeah.
So far out of my price range, but anyway, I'm gonna have to do something in the coming days, but we'll see.
No, they're definitely cool, don't get me wrong, but they're definitely I'm sure they're all as comfortable as can be, right?
Well, and the downside too,
have you driven one?
I sat in one, but I didn't drive it. But the competition to me is the full size, the new Broncos, the Ford Broncos.
Oh, yeah, I agree, those are neat.
Not the sport, the full size. Full,
right. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there is no vehicles in Ford dealerships right now. And if there is, like our dealership in town here, which would normally, I don't know how many vehicles they'd normally have, 50, 60. They have like three.
Oh, wow. Like
the dealerships have no vehicles. So
yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Well, I mean, used prices, I know, are still for the last few months have just been like absurd.
I have totally buddies absurd. Who have Ford pickups that are a couple of years old that the dealers are calling them to sell them, and they're getting more money than they paid for.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that's. Yeah,
but there's something about the exporting into the States too, but they can't export them brand new. They have to get the mileage up to a certain amount to, I don't know, to avoid duties or export taxes or whatever it is.
Okay.
So they have to have so many kilometers, but anyway, strange tangent.
It is, but you know, it's relevant, right? A lot of people are looking for cars. They can't find them.
That's what we do.
Tangent. Oh man. But yeah, I think we basically summarized, you know, our thoughts on chainsaw carving.
I want to talk about tools a little bit though, really quick.
Yeah, for sure. And then I have a question for you once you're done with that.
Okay. I never used the remember we talked about the eye burning tool. I forget what grinder. I've never had a die grinder.
Really?
Yeah, I've never had one. Have you used it much?
Oh, yeah. I used it more than, so it was the chainsaw number one and the die grinder number two.
Really?
Oh, the die grinder you have to get. And it's, you know what? I've had three of them and they're all from Harbor Freight. And the one lasted me 4 or 5 years. Now, if I was like an everyday chainsaw carver, I would be using a, I'd be moving through those quick. I'd probably have a Makita. Maybe I'll end up upgrading, but I've got two to work through to burn out before I do. And they were like $30 or $40. I think $40. But no, yeah, die grinders are fantastic.
And they just take like Dremel bits on steroids.
Yeah, quarter inch
cuts all bits and stuff.
Quarter inch shaft. Is it eighth inch? No, it's quarter, I think.
No, it'll be quarter inch shank, yeah.
And the shank, right? Yeah. And yeah, it's an invaluable tool. So, yep. But I was going to ask you, what have you chainsaw? I know I saw on your front porch a while ago that you had done a pumpkin. Have you done other things in
chainsaw? Oh, I did a lot. I did a lot of pumpkins. That's the extent of my chainsaw carving. Mm-hmm. Really, is I did a lot of pumpkins, and I gave them to a lot of family members and stuff. They're fun. So I think we still have about six of them here. So Sophie will bring them out in the fall and decorate with them.
Nice.
But I don't know. I did some big 5 foot daisy flowers, and I've done some big 4 foot bears and stuff.
Oh, cool.
But nothing. All hokey. Yeah. I did myself a 6 foot version of myself. That's the one that I ended up telling you. I cut the head off it after looking at it for 2 years and realizing how horrible it really was. But it was all hokey. I was never very good at it.
I'd be curious with your newfound desire for realism that you give it another shot. I bet you would, and you know, just gained a lot of experience over the years.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I am going the opposite way.
Yeah.
I want to own less and do smaller things because I want to downsize at some point. And if I got into chainsaw carving, then I'd go and buy 10 more tools, guaranteed. I'd have logs all over my yard, more than I already do.
Right.
And it would just become another thing. And I just can't keep doing this and spreading out too thin.
No, I get it. I definitely get it. For sure.
Well, which is actually, I mentioned earlier about my little secret project, but that's actually like the heart of it is very, very minimalistic, simple. But we'll talk about that later.
It's exciting. But yeah, no, I get it. And to your point, my shop has never been more like full, and there's only four large carvings in here. And it's like, it takes up so much space.
I have a very large house. I raised five kids in this house.
Yeah,
soon there's only three of us left.
Right,
and I would love to get down to the minimalist lifestyle.
Yeah,
my wife is not really on board.
Okay,
but just if you could have everything you own on your desk. You know what I mean?
Yep.
For some reason, I feel that's freedom because I've always chased after things, and as soon as I get them, oh, now I have it. Well, let's put it in a box and put it under the bed.
Yep. Yeah.
The fun is always in the collecting and the finding and the buying and the selling, but it's never in the owning.
Keeping. Yeah. And storing.
Yeah. It's always you want what you can't, or you want what you don't have, and then you have it, and you're like, well, I don't want it.
Yeah. Just becomes a nuisance.
Yep.
To have all this stuff. Yeah. I need to go through, I started doing it with my clothes last time we talked, but I'd like to do it with my shop too. Is just go through everything in here and throw away whatever, you know, might look cool, but I don't need. So
Well, the old joke is that I should sell all my stuff while I can, so that my wife doesn't sell them for what she thinks I paid for them.
That's the joke.
That's the joke.
That's the best one ever. Yeah. I love that so much. Yeah, but I encourage folks to try it. Chainsaw carving is a good time, and it's nice to switch it up, right? So.
Yep. Yep.
Mailbag.
I think we nailed it that time.
That was the one, dude.
I think that was the one.
It's the time of the week where we read your mail. Not your mail.
Hang on.
Wait, no.
Let's try this. I'll say mail.
And I'll say big. Like a true Canadian.
You have to say, and then I'll say, you just say it. Mail.
And then I'll say big.
Okay, we won't say it. I'm not gonna do it again.
Welcome to the mail, big. Welcome to the mail.
All right, giddy up. What do you got?
We've got a plethora of great notes. Anyway,
we had lots of encouragement, congratulations, and encouragement notes for young Alec here.
Yeah, no,
and, I deleted them.
So yeah,
just have the questions left there.
There you go. I wanted to read every single one. Anyway, they were talking here about Josh was talking about he calls us masters of the wood. He was asking if we have tried the Ryobi 4-volt power carver, and asked if we would add it to our collection.
I know I won't. Have you looked at it? Did you look at it?
Yeah, it's got a bunch of tools. It's kind of like a Dremel with like a power carver thing to it as well, and a drill. It's like a everything in one kind of set.
Okay.
I don't know if sorry.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's just fine.
Exactly.
But I mentioned earlier weeks past that I do have a Dremel now.
Mm-hmm.
But since I bought it though, and since I announced that I had one,
mm-hmm.
I've never used it.
Yep.
Bought all the bits for it.
Right.
I don't even want to use it.
No.
Especially the bark is so dusty.
Yep. It is, isn't it? It just covers everything.
So dusty.
The only way it's worth it is if you're carving outside. It's nice to have. If you're carving outside, it's awesome because all the dust blows away. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the bark is such a fine dust too.
That, yeah. 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 So
I'm not Mr. Safety, and I never put masks and stuff on, which I should. There was a buddy made a video about the shop air quality.
Mm.
Sveto.
Okay.
Andrew. And he has this tool to measure your air quality, and talked about if you don't have all the vacuum systems and stuff, it's just, you're gonna die. Bottom line.
Right.
You're gonna die.
Which reminds me, I need to turn this thing on while I'm in here because
why? Because you're making dust?
Yeah, when I'm talking, I'm doing a lot to make a mess. So I gotta
just have a drink then if you're spitting dust.
I'll turn it off, but yeah. Did I ever show you this on this show? It's really hideous, but it's my duct tape special. Cool. My duct tape special fan box.
So for those looking, it looks like a bunch of furnace filters in a square with a square
box fan.
Yeah. Box fan.
Yeah.
Pretty clever, really.
Yeah, it was a clever idea. And I saw how the guy assembled it in 5 minutes. So I thought, you know what? I'm gonna get some duct tape, a new fan, and some furnace filters.
Duct tape, that's a red green
yes.
Do you know red green?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very Canadian.
So. Well, yeah. You know, remember that I'm like half French Canadian. That's my dad's side. So I'm honorary Canadian. Hello, Doug and Alec, episode 29 and still going strong. I think that means he's on episode 29. Congrats on your engagement. Question for you both. Have you thought about tackling a deep relief project? A deep relief project. I've started there and found it fun, but have veered off to Bark and Doug's characters with no regrets. Interesting. So deep relief carving, that is what I do for a living, actually, is deep relief
carving. I was just going to say, give the definition of what deep relief carving is.
Yeah. Well, my understanding of it is that deep relief is something that is, to allude to depth, it may be fully three-dimensional, or it may be partially three-dimensional, but there's a lot of depth in it, right? So it's something close to 3D. Whereas, shallow relief is all conveying depth, but without actual depth. So it's very shallow. It's very thin.
Like that Chinese fan I showed last week.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, technically speaking, I do mostly, in your bark carving, that's a deep relief as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
You can consider it half round probably if you wanted to, but. I know what he means, and occasionally when I'm commissioned, I do some relief carving, and I did a little one a few months ago. Remember I showed you the wolf with the mountain scene and the trees and such?
That's right too. That's right. Yeah.
So yeah, what about you?
Based on your definition, then I do that already too.
Yep.
But no scenery or anything like that. I do have a couple ideas in my head, but we'll see if they ever come to light. But it's not something that I would pursue. That's why I said define it, because I'm thinking it was sceneries,
right.
Cabins and trees and stuff like that. But I wasn't thinking about the face. But
No, but it's
definitely, never know. I don't. I guess it's not something that I have a strong desire to do.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Yep. And it's we'll leave it at that. Yep. Tom says, today's questions are this. Number one, are practice sticks worth the time? Well, I don't mind using a carving I messed up for practice or random found wood. It's hard to break the habit of not wasting good wood for a practice stick. Interesting. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Doug?
They say it's worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by me saying that, it means that I don't really do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't use them.
No, I'm too eager to carve something and I don't do it.
You know, what's funny is I have a childhood memory of running into my first study stick, and I thought, oh my gosh, that is so cool. I'm going to get one of those one day. And I just took a bunch of pictures of it on my flip phone, and then I never saw one again. It was like years of not seeing one again. But I think it was on the face, and it was like a realistic face one. And I saw like, holy cow, look how deep he's going. And that drove it home, like really deep in here, really deep in here. In the inside corner of the eyes, outside corner of the eyes. But it wasn't a big part. Any three-dimensional object that you can use to help you get the gist of it is helpful. So I don't know.
I think what he's saying is, do you make your own, do you practice eyes in a row, really?
Oh, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. You make your own stick and just practice eye, and then get it down pat.
Oh, I see.
Because I have study sticks coming out the wazoo, but I showed them last week too. But I felt like they were more like collectibles. but people do. It's a good practice. And again, I say that, but I don't do it. But you just make eyes all the way down a corner of a piece of wood, and then do noses, or you know what I mean, just over and over, repetition.
Yeah,
so you got it down pat. Because time you get to a face, you're like, oh, I kind of forget. I'll just cut. You know, that's how I just wing my way through everything. So I never.
Well, it's so interesting because, the idea behind fundamentals of wood carving was to throw people in projects. You know, a lot of beginners say, there's not enough beginner content for the class. And I usually don't break things down object to object. I usually throw it all into one thing. And that's just the way that I work, though. I like things in context. I just made a video for the school about carving a realistic eye, just so people could really zoom in and see, you know, all the detail that goes into an eye and all the steps up close. So they're not, because, you know, the problem is with videos, it's hard to see what's going on up close. So, but aside from that, every project that I do in the school within reason is, again, project oriented. So I do the whole face. It's kind of like the difference in guitar instruction from this teacher I had a long time ago named Ken, and a teacher I had recent, a virtual teacher who I've had for years, is Tommy Emmanuel, right? I say teacher, but I just watched videos and learned from his lecture. And he would say, learn songs. If you want to learn guitar, because the songs will push you. The melodies, the scales, the concepts might not inspire you, might not push you to keep practicing and learn and get excellent, but the songs will inspire you enough to stay.
That's actually, it makes a lot of sense
in them. And that always stuck with me. And so I usually don't go online and nerd out on like the guitar licks most of the time. Right. Occasionally I do, but when I do get time to play guitar, I'm just playing a song or two. But the same thing with carving. It's like, you know, you can break it, an object down into small forms and practice stop cuts and do all these exercises until you're blue in the face. But, you know, everything, the rubber meets the road when you get to actually carving a project. And so that's why I like what you do, is you get people started into carving by helping them finish a complete project, a complete figure, a complete head, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm into. But that's a really long-winded answer. He asked,
sure was.
He asked, sorry, too, how often will you practice eyes or noses or something similar? Okay, so you're right. He said practice stick, not study stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he to kind of, we already kind of elaborated on that.
Yeah, we killed that one.
Okay, we killed all these, I think. Do you find deliberately doing an eye study or noses help refine your technique? Already answered. Question? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No. We're good,
dude. Fourth question here is: doing the same carving over and over and over and over again with small variations the same as a practice stick? Okay, so this is a little variety, a little spice to that question.
I like. Is this the same guy, or is this different questions?
Same guy, but different questions.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of the same. So yeah, no, like, so I always mentioned before, when I do a tutorial, I'm not doing that carving for the first time on camera to teach you it.
Right.
So I practice making a half a dozen. If they're small enough, I'll make a half a dozen before I teach it.
Yep.
So that I have a down pat when I go to teach it. Cause yeah, I'm not guessing when I'm trying to teach something on camera. So
right.
Definitely repetition of the same carving makes you way faster.
Oh yeah.
Way faster.
Yeah. And if you're worried about getting stuck in ruts, it's harder to get in a rut when you're a beginner, because getting in a rut means that you have consistent skills in one area. It's not as bad it's not as bad of a thing as you would think, having a problem making the same thing over and over again. All you need to do is mess it up a little bit to make it different. So that's what's great about faces. You know, you just take a fit. You get set in your ways a little bit too much. You've done the same face over and over again. They all look like cousins or sisters or brothers. All you got to do is this is a thing from Ferris, which he was saying on this last trip. It's just mess it up. Not quite the words he used, but screw it up, you know, like do something to it that you wouldn't normally do. Use a different set of tools. He was saying a mentor taught him this. You know, if you use the same five tools for a face, grab a different set of tools that are kind of close, but a little different, and carve a face that way. Throw yourself off.
Yeah. Be more versatile. Well, and throw yourself off, but all of a sudden you're sitting there one time and your tool doesn't work.
Yep. Exactly.
You gotta make do. So.
Yep. Yep.
There's it's many true. Ways to skin a cat, they say.
It's true. it's true. And I've never understood that, but let's see. What do we got? All righty. Talking about homemade eye punch holes. You actually did this.
That I read that one. That was a good point with the bullet casings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the shell casings from the ammo. But I did, I didn't do that, but we talked about, I talked about a copper pipe, and that's how this conversation started. But I took a end caps, a 3/4 inch end cap and a 1/2 inch end cap, and just sharpened the edges, and it works good.
Yeah, that's cool
for that size, but very rare. I only have, I only wanted the 1/2 inch for something in particular, but the shell casings are a great idea because you get down to even a 22 is a nice level, was a 1/4 inch,
right?
You know, yeah. And then and there from there up you get to 3/8. So yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. Thank you, Len. That's Len Wells. Oh, Tom, he is actually heard a couple people say thanks. What's really funny is they said thanks, Alec, for introducing us to Manchester Orchestra. A couple people said that.
Did you?
Is my brain falling out, or did you suggest that?
That was mine. That was mine. But no matter.
I think because it's a young, trendy band, they're probably thinking when they listen to it, and they kind of
have... this old guy doesn't listen.
Yeah,
to it.
That's yeah, right. Yeah. So. That's it. That's all we got. That's it. That is it.
That's not so bad.
It wasn't. It's always appreciated. Everyone's throwing their 2 cents in. So
yeah, and yeah, lots of nice emails too this week. Lots of compliments and well wishes for young Alex's future.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Definitely, definitely appreciate the congratulations you guys have sent me. So thank you so much.
They all hope it goes well because they know how it goes for themselves.
Oh man. The jokes have come in. They're flooding. It's definitely hilarious. And it's a crazy thing to really comprehend, like fully comprehend what it is to like just spend the rest of your life with someone is you know, people keep asking me and bringing up all these questions, and I'm just like, because a lot of young people don't get married, right? They don't get married at my age. Like, I'm not even that young of a person. I'm 27, but a lot of 27 year olds are not married, right? And actually, statistically, I think the average age of marriage now is like mid-30s.
That's wild.
So that being said, people are kind of going like, why on earth are you doing this right now? Like, you know, a couple of friends are like, it's almost more of an expression on their faces than like a question. You know, people aren't asking that directly, but I think most people that are married get it. It's just like, you want to live with your buddy. You want to live with your best friend, you know, and get to hang out with them more. And yeah. So anyway, that's all. Anyway, the, media portion is here.
That was the weakest intro, but that's okay. You totally blew the gain out on the microphone. There's no way that
media portion is here.
I prefer the first version when it
Man,
this is a portion where we, what have you been watching, learning, reading, artist of the week, whatever it is, and I'll go.
Yeah, let's hear.
I'll go because I made a new friend this week, and Steve Tomaszek. He was on the International Association of Woodcarvers Zoom meeting on the weekend, and we got to hang out and talk a bit after, and he is the author of Tiny Whittling.
Oh, cool.
He carves very tiny little creatures, and that's his living.
I love it.
And he says they're so tiny, but what I thought was super cool was that he puts them all over and takes pictures, and that's also art that he sells.
Right.
So it's a two-part thing. Like, it's the carving and it's the selling of the
clever
pictures. Yeah, clever. Because he says, if because he does do art shows, but he says if you're in an art show and your display is, your whole display is this big, the picture has to be big in the background,
right?
The little thing is, right? So, but he is very, very tiny carver.
I wonder what his price point. I mean, I know this is something that you're not supposed to ask.
I know,
but don't you wonder like how he prices something, because small stuff isn't always slow. faster.
Commission me a quarter inch duck.
Right. Right.
Well, yeah. Sure. I'll do that for you. For that'd be $348. What? You know, like,
right.
I don't know. But he has inspired me in a few different ways. I have always enjoyed tiny. Like I've always carved little tiny men.
Yeah. Oh.
And I get more satisfaction of these little.
Oh my gosh!
Tiny guys than I do.
Cute.
Than I would for a 6 foot chainsaw carving for myself.
Right. Right.
It's just they're just cute.
Yeah.
And I like tiny. And I was saying this room. There's no more room left.
Room. Right.
Yeah. But how many of these little tiny guys can you put around, eh? Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, I get it.
Keep carving.
I get it.
He is my pick of the week, and that is Steve Tomaszek. I follow him on Instagram as of the weekend.
Right.
And you can see his work there. Tomaszek, Tomaszek.
Tomaszek. Very cool. Well, man, we're on that tiny train because mine is a woman named K-A-K. Oh. Wow, that was epic. Almost as good as my inability to understand your jokes. K-A-T-J-A, also known as K-A-T-J-A.
I know her. We actually, you told me before the show, so I have something of hers here, but I don't know how you say that. Is it Katya? Katya?
Katya, maybe. Katya. I should have asked her before.
Katya?
She, Katya? I got to turn the brightness down. Wow, it's bright.
So on the Instagram, she once was Creature Carvings in her early carving, but she is a painter, illustrator. She's fantastic.
Look how tiny.
Little carvings, yeah.
Maybe you're subconsciously inspiring me, but... For real, I've loved this woman, just followed her work, and something about these little pieces just are like so cool to me. I mean, she's doing really nice stuff. It's not just like, okay, that's one of hers. That's adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cute.
It's a cute little guy. But yep. I actually relate to a lot of her. I follow her for a few years now, and she has that, quirky weirdness that I like.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, she's awesome. I really, really like her faces. They're very like surreal. They're like, I don't know how to describe them. Maybe surrealistic.
You'll have to find her paintings. You would be amazed at her paintings.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Yeah, she has another channel on there for painting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. They're really good. Yeah. Anyway, I'll have to look at her painting. But yeah, she is my featured artist of the week. Oh, here's one. Here's a little drawing that she did. Sorry, audio people, but anyway, that's cool.
Look on her bio and see if it shows a link to her other channels or not.
Yeah, I will. I will check that out. She's living in New York. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. 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 I don't even follow this account. So she's a painter. Yeah. She's
awesome. She's a painter. Awesome painter. That's her trade. She's okay. A painter illustrator for books and art and stuff.
Oh, like. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense where she's getting that.
So yeah. Carving is her little side hobby. Yeah. It's insane, right?
Yeah. No, she's way, way good. Yep. Really good. Realistic. Anyway, okay, that being
yes,
fantastic artist. But other than that, have you been like watching anything or looking in any like reading anything or
no,
nothing noteworthy?
No, nothing that jumps out anyway. No, that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have a lot either, to be honest. I've been thinking though, I need to listen to some music to decompress. I need some more relaxed music. I mean, you're probably gonna laugh because I already listened to the most chill music ever.
Yeah, you're an old man.
I am an old man. I need to wind down. I feel that way though. But
well, folks, we just ended episode number 30. And 30, I can't believe that we made it to 30. We're going to say that right up till what? 31?
Yeah.
Take your vitamins. I beat you.
Got him. Dang it. Oh, man.
Have a good week, everybody. See you next Friday.
Bye. Love you.